Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 10th of September. It's the 10th of the month, so that means it's Blizzard Day. That's when you can get the cheap blizzard. When you can get the small blizzard at Dairy Queen for like $1.40 plus tax. What? Oh. But I mean, like I was saying, a minute ago, yeah, they got, you can get the small blizzard for like $1.40 plus tax. And I hope they have that pumpkin pie blizzard, because I think it might be the best one they have, or maybe one of the summer ones might be, because you can never go wrong with summer flavors. You really can't. But I'm going to keep it short tonight because the Ministry of Health conference starts tonight. The conference is at 2010 North Stark Road, a mile north of US 10. We have services Tuesday night through Friday night at 7, and then morning services at 10:30 tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. And what it's about is it's about the Ministry of Helps, which God has called us to. But as I was saying, I think that it's really important that we find our place. In the Ministry of Health. It is. And so that being said, we're going to be shortening things up tonight a bit. It's why we started tonight's program a lot earlier than we normally do, so that we can all have time to get ready for the conference. And yes, I will make sure to save some time to talk about a little bit of sports at the end of the show. But I am going to Luke chapter 4. Oh, let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time in the Word tonight, for this brief time that we have to study your Word. I just thank you, Lord God, that would be fruitful and that people will feel ministered to in the name of Jesus. As I said, I'm in Luke 4. And I am going to start with verse 30. Actually, I want to start with verse 23, and we're going to go down to the end of the chapter. Luke 4, 23, NIV version. Jesus said to them, "As surely as you quote this proverb to me, quote, physician, heal yourself. Father, here in your hometown, what we have heard that you did in Capernaum. I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there will be many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, and by any of them, but by a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy, in the sum of time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him by the to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." Verse 31 now. "When he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath day, he began to teach the people. They were amazed at his teaching, because the message had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man that was possessed by a demon, an evil spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, 'Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' Jesus said sternly. 'Come out of him.' Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring the man. All the people were amazed and said to each other, 'What is this teaching of authority and power? He gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out.' The news about him spread throughout the surrounding area." Verse 38. "Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kind of sickness, and laying his hands on one, each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving. But he said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. All right. What you see here is Jesus was in one synagogue. He said some stuff. They didn't like it. People threw him out. Basically threw him off the cliff. Then he went somewhere else. Drove out an evil spirit out of someone, and everyone was amazed. After that, he went to Simon's house, healed his mother-in-law of a fever. And then they went to another place, and people brought all kinds of sick people to him, and he healed them. And then Jesus tries to go to this private place so that he can pray to God about what he's supposed to do next. All these people keep following him, saying, "We want more Jesus. We want more word. We want to learn more. More about you. We want preach to us, teach us, show us." But then Jesus said something really powerful. He said, "I must go preach and teach in other towns also." In other words, that meant he was given a travel ministry, and not necessarily the ministry where he just got to stay in the same place and pastor every single Sunday or every single Sabbath or every day. He didn't just get to stay at the same place and do it. He was to go around Israel and other places, preaching and teaching the Word of God. They didn't have internet yet, so they couldn't stream Jesus' meetings. And I don't know if there were cassette tapes yet that people could buy and listen to Jesus' messages. Oh, maybe there were 8-tracks. Do you know of anywhere that there were 8-tracks and cassettes in Jesus' day? Mr. Pete, were there any that you know of? Do you know that there were any 8-tracks or CDs or cassettes that people could have bought and listened to Jesus' messages back in the day when he walked the earth?
No.
Oh!
I don't think there's any 8-tracks, but I mean, there could have been. 8-tracks are pretty old.
Well,
I don't think they're that old.
Well, they didn't have any of it, so it's not like they could go back and listen to him. That's part of why they wanted him to do more, to preach and teach and continue on. And people and he had to tell people, you know, it's great. You know, it's great that you love me in that, but I also have to go to these other towns also.
But he preached to thousands, so evidently he must have been a pretty loud talker.
Yeah, because I don't think there was any microphones yet. There was no megaphone.
But, I mean, there was lots of people there sometimes. I mean, it was on the mountain. You know, there was, what, 5,000 women and children?
And sometimes he had to do it on...
that means there was probably 10,000 people.
And several times... And one time, I'm sure there was more than that, but a couple times in the Bible it's mentioned that he had to go in a boat and preach.
But I'm sure the angels probably made sure everybody heard it.
So regardless of how far back they may have been at that crusade, because he didn't always do it just in the synagogues, which are still a part of certain religions, well, they'll call them synagogues. That's what they did. But as we may sometimes say, at church. Yeah, he was at church. I mean, he didn't always just do his meetings in churches. Sometimes he did them on mountains or in boats, essentially at the beach. And everybody just showed up. They didn't need an invitation sent in the mail. They didn't need a Facebook invite, a Twitter invite, Instagram, phone call. Because they didn't have all those. People were just hungry.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit spoke a lot of.
And that's how they knew where he was going.
And by word of mouth.
That's how they knew that he was having meetings. And where they were. And the reason he broke away like that from these people and why he needed a little bit of space was so that he could pray. Because with any preacher, if all a preacher does is preach, go every night and every hour and never, they're not prayed up because they've been spending time with God. It can end up not being so good. That's why the preacher needs to take some time here and there and pray in between meetings. Because R.W. Shambach, for example, he got in a place where he, and God talked to him about it, and he's like, well, all these great miracles have been happening and all that. And he's like, but have you been spending time with me? When's the last time you took a day or two and did nothing but pray? And God asked him that. And he said, I'll work on that. And he did it. And he still did all his crusades and that, but he just took some time to pray and get before God and make sure that he was doing what God wanted him to. And obviously when Jesus was a human being who walked among the earth, he had to do the same thing for the 3 years that his ministry ran. He had to do that so that he wasn't just going, never taking time to pray and seek God to make sure that you're still where God wants you. Because little being God is just seeking his faith to make sure. Because example, my pastor was given a mandate in 79. Get to Midland. I ask you to go to Midland and start a church. And through that obedience, Living Word was born. Years later, don't know the exact year, let's say early 2000s or so, maybe mid-2000s, God gave him a choice and said, you can stay the pastor at Living Word if you want to, but I am not I'm not mandating that you stay the pastor. He said, I do want you, however, to continue to travel. And then now God has told him to go for him like never before. And to get out there as much as possible. But because he seeks God about that kind of stuff. That's why he's so keen. And people should make sure that they're exactly where God wants them to be. All right. Thank you, Lord God, for the word. I just thank you, Lord God, that we will get this in our heart. Thank you, Lord God, that you're with us wherever we go. And I just thank you, Lord God, that we are hearers of the word. I mean, that we are doers of the word and not hearers only.
I just
text
John.
We praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, I just kind of see the truth, but they're still planning on working.
And now for sports. The Tigers, now they are going to host the Yankees for a series starting with tonight at 6:40. I'm hoping that the Lions, the Tigers can find a way to surprise some people. And beat the Yankees, maybe win the series, hopefully. As they have now lost 100 games.
White Oak.
And now for football. Last night, the Saints beat the Texans 30-28. Drew Brees looks great at quarterback. But so did Texans quarterback Sean Watson. He had a really nice night. There was actually at one point an interception with a big return that was called back because one of the Saints had jumped offside. So because of that, it helped the Texans, so negated an interception. But I know of, isn't it pretty rare that an interception gets called back? Isn't it pretty rare that an interception gets negated? Nullified? Because you hear a lot more about touchdowns or big runs or big passes being nullified, but rarely interceptions. And so that was good for the Texans. Whether I like the Saints or Texans better, I don't know. I really like them both. I picked the Saints because they were the home team partially. They won 30-28. And Raiders, Broncos at Raiders. Broncos the winner. No, Raiders the winner, 24-16. I was surprised that the Raiders were able to win this one, especially after the conclusion of the Antonio Brown saga. That could have almost been a movie, because he was kicked off the he left the Raiders before he ever played a down of football. For those of you who don't know what that whole saga was, first there was the whole thing with the helmet. He was mad because he couldn't wear a certain helmet. But then he goes to France to do some therapy for his feet. But he gets his feet frostbitten because he didn't wear the proper foot protection. Then he comes back. He's late for a walk. He misses a walkthrough and some other things, so he has to sit out a preseason game and pay some fines. Then got into a scuffle with a couple of Raiders. Then Mitchell got really wild. Now he has signed with the Patriots. The Raiders still look decent. So, I forgot to tell you last night how the picks went. Combined between all the football picks for all the games I picked, I was 4-8, which gives us an accuracy of 50%. Which is a little bit low. So usually I'll pick 4 of 7 correctly or 5 of 7. Six of seven. I've actually been undefeated before. One time last year I was undefeated. All the games I picked correctly. But 4 of 8, that's kind of rough.
I think the Patriots are going to go
19-0. 4 of 8. That's kind of, it was okay, but as compared to how I usually do that one. As far as what I got right, I got Midland's game right, but not Dow's for high school. For college, mercifully, I got both of those ones right, because had Army made that field goal right before Army, that would have been a disaster. NFL was my big downfall. I said the Lions would win, instead they tied. I said that the Bears would win and beat the Packers. They didn't. I said that the Saints would beat the Texans. They did. I said the Broncos would beat the Raiders. They didn't. for a little bit there yet last night. It looked like I was going to finish up 0-4 on NFL. Which means, well, I was kind of close to being only 25% accurate. At which point I would have been like, what happened to me this weekend? But hopefully we'll be better next weekend. We'll see. My picks will come tomorrow night. Just note that Michigan has a bye week, so I will be picking a different college game instead. So until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
And call.
Yeah.